Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I look at people who have had moments of transformation and how we, as a collective culture, are moving into new parts of ourselves, new realities is why I call the program that. And tonight I'm talking to Diane Horton from Australia, who's had a sort of breakthrough, and we'll be talking about her change in perspective. That's what I'm interested in, Diane. Who you were before whatever happened to you happened, and then who you are now. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It's who I was before is like a story to me, like a fairy tale reading out of a book of who I was and trying to remember who it was that I was.
Yes. So... But now, who you are now is not a story. It's what this person you call yourself.
That's probably one of the things that I find very difficult to answer. I don't have a reference point of actually who I am, what I am, or anything. There's nothing really there. I have lost the sense of self. And until you lose that sense of self, then you're actually a human. And you know who you are and what you are and what you're like and how you do things and how you operate in your life. And it can be called pretty programmed. Mm. And you have this idea. And then when there is no self and there is no humanness there anymore, there just is, then I would have no idea of what or who I am. But I just live every moment as it comes and respond as it happens and then go, oh, that's what I did, that's what I said, that's how it was. And finding it interesting and, yeah, very interesting to watch this person, this being, doing what she does.
But there was a moment where you went from the story to the not knowing. There, you can remember that moment, and it has to do with our friend Paul Lowe, I think. I mean, from what I've heard, I don't know. I mean, I know it's also a story, but it's interesting, I think, for people to hear. That's what something I want to hear, how you went from pretending in a way you were this identity to realizing that you weren't. What actually happened?
Well, I was just like you, Alan. I was just like everybody else pretty much on the planet, where I just lived my life the way that I lived it in this world that we play in. And along the way, there was a place where I just went, I've had enough of living this way. This doesn't feel like so much fun anymore. It's repetitive. It's the same thing. You know, doing the property, the husband, the kids, the work, all those sorts of things. And then it was like, so do I want to keep doing this for the rest of my life? Is this is how I want to live and operate? I was also certain things that I didn't like about myself as well. And I saw those things through Paul telling me who I was and some of the things I couldn't see. Maybe he told me that I was manipulating. I could see that. Mm-hmm. I knew that I lied in my life, and then he told me I was tricky, and I couldn't see that. But I thought, well, who am I going to believe in my life who has what it is that I would like? Mm-hmm. And so I decided to listen to him, and I just sat with the different things that he told me that he saw in me. And some of them didn't feel very nice to sit with. Some of them I sat with a couple of times. Tears burning up inside, feeling cold, just feeling it shaking my body when I was in those energies, vibrations, feelings, whatever it is you want to call them. And I just kept staying with them, because when you actually sit with them and you feel them, they're not very pleasant inside yourself, and yet you carry that around all the time, and most of the time we cover it up so that we don't see it and feel it because it's not nice.
Yeah. I agree. Yes. No, Paul said those things to me, or some of them, and I'm still sitting with them. So I know they don't feel nice, but of course, the fact that they don't feel nice means that there is something to them, you know? So so you sat with them and you really, really were with them.
And a part of being with them was surrendering to that experience of being with them, if I can just add that on. So you're sitting with the experience of it and you're surrendering into it, which I felt maybe adds a little bit more depth of it, rather than, unless there's that surrender part in there, maybe there's a form of control, or I'll only go this deep, or I'll only feel that much. It has to be, I've had enough. And a letting go, or a not holding with that feeling of surrender. And over a period of time of doing that and not wanting to be those ways anymore in my life, I just woke up one morning, and I partly woke up, like at, you know, 5 a.m. when you sort of drift into a bit more consciousness, and I heard this voice say, "Do you want to stay or be Diane?" And I didn't really know what that meant. I didn't really take it as anything. It was just like, oh, that's interesting. And I went back to sleep. And then I woke up probably an hour later, and I just sort of woke up and it was blank. And then I stepped out of bed, and it was my world started to be full of wonderment and like super hyper awareness. And I walked around as if I hadn't been here before. And I walked around going, oh, this is where Diane lives. Oh, this is what Diane dresses like. Oh, this is where Diane sleeps. Oh. And I just kept going around like that. And then I walked outside and I started to touch the plants and the earth, and just tears would just come to me because I was with them. I was them, and there was no separation. And the feeling of that wonderment just touched me so deeply. And I just sat on the veranda outside, and all these little baby birds started coming around me and sat on the grass. And then all these other birds came around. And then all these other different types of birds. And there must have been 5 different types of birds just all around me. It was like one of those magical fairy tale scenes. And I've never experienced it since with the wildlife here. But it was just incredible. They knew something. They felt something.
So this, yeah, no, thank you for that's beautiful. I get it from where I'm at, and it's really, it feels like what you're saying is, of course, who we all are, but most people never ever get to experience that because we're so caught in the story and the identification of ourselves because we think that,
let that go. You don't want to have another experience. You want to hold on to this reality of human experience because you think that this one is exciting, this one is more fun, and this one you have some form of control over, that you can get what you want in this world, and that's far more fun than something that you absolutely have no idea of. And there's not many examples out there of people living that, so you don't really have a reference point either. And a lot of people just feel like, oh, maybe it's not so much fun, you know. They don't have all the highs and lows, and they don't have, their life is really different, and you don't necessarily want that enough. You want the drama, you want the excitement, you want the be able to get what you want, you want to be in control of your life, so that then you can make yourself happy by having what it is that you think you want.
Right. And, of course, that never really, or it hasn't in the past, ever made us happy, except for maybe a second, and then, boom, we're off to something else. And so
And it's the happiness that you feel is happiness that isn't actually happy. It's a mind happiness, because unless you come to this place, I don't think you would ever really get what happiness is, which isn't my experience of happiness before. In the humanness part of Diane, yes, there was happy moments, but it's a screwed up happiness, if I can use that word to describe it.
Yeah, I mean, but so what you're feeling now, well, you're saying you're not human now in the sense that you don't have a story. Is that what you mean? And
I don't have a personality. There's no ego there. There's no sense of self. And there's no humanness as far as attaching myself to drama or getting what I want. They're all human traits and generally all from the mind and your programming and how you were conditioned as a child. And you carry those on. And if you actually dropped all of them, who would you be? What would you be? You would just be this, that I am.
Mm. So day to day, you wake up in the morning not knowing what you'll do, not knowing the next, not with any agenda, is that?
Well, definitely no agenda, because that would be something that was planned out, I think, from the mind. I wake up, I have things to do. Like, yes, I need to come up here and meet with you.
Right.
And what's next? Okay, then I'll go down and have a coffee, and then what's next? And just whatever pops up, and then you're just with that. And there's no resistance. There's no getting upset because you have to do that, or you can't do this, or you can't do that, or you're not getting it this way this time, or... And it's more fun.
Yeah.
It's more exciting. It's more interesting. It's more, okay, now what's going to happen next? Life is just an amazing, amazing experience of everybody just let it go. And it's way more amazing than you could ever imagine from the place that you sit in now. Mm-hmm. And I can't really describe it. I can only feel it within myself. And wow, this is way better than how I ever used to live.
Mm. So what, well, you can tell me what, I mean, I talked to Paul Lowe, of course, for years, 20 years, but something radical has happened to you. I mean, what do I need? I mean, maybe I haven't done it the way you've done it. Not that there's a way, but I haven't sat with my discomfort or my, you know, ego desires or, you know, my needs or I don't know. What do I need to do? What would you say that me or anyone listening could do?
Just whenever something arises in you that feels tight, it feels uncomfortable, you absolutely have to stop. You don't keep driving your car. You don't keep eating your meal. You don't keep talking to the person. You absolutely stop and shut your eyes and shut your mouth and sit or stand and feel it. I don't know of any other way, Alan. Everything else, anything else is hiding from being with that moment right there, feeling what you're feeling. It's giving you an opportunity to sit with yourself and feel what's going on in your body and all those tiny molecules that you're made out of, all those energy atoms, lifetrons, whatever they're called, they are vibrating with that energy, with that feeling in that moment, and they're available and ready for you to be with them. And every time you avoid them, they just go back to where they were before, and then they'll come up again. It's like they're really, really patient with you until you want to be with them and have 100% focus with that energy, that hotness that's going through your body, that tingling, that sweating, that coldness, whatever it is, those tears. And then when you're 100% present with them and feeling it, it just radiates all through your body. You'll feel it in the tips of your toes to the top of your head. It will just tingle all throughout your body, and then it'll just go. It'll just transform. They'll just disappear. That energy won't be required there anymore. But it's the level of being with it, the level of awareness that you give it, whether you give it a bit and go, oh, okay, that's enough now. I've felt that enough. That feels a bit too uncomfortable. I don't have to do that now, or I can do it later. And that's when the mind will come in and trick you and move you away from being with yourself.
So you're saying, I mean, what I hear you saying is it's moment to moment, which is what Paul says, awareness of the feelings that I'm having and being with each feeling moment, because many people are so, yeah, automatic, they don't feel, but yes.
Yeah, but see, even with yourself, Ellen, when those things come up, how committed to yourself in that moment are you, or do you deflect? Do you find something else to do? Does your mind come in and go, oh, I haven't got time for that at the moment, or I need to do this first, or, and it's not, as Paul would say, your priority. And, you know, he's been teaching for 40 years. When I went to him, and I've been listening to him for 10 years previous or more, and then I went, of all people on the planet, am I actually going to surrender myself to somebody else and absolutely listen to this man who has peace, who doesn't have reactions, who doesn't have jealousy, drama, gets what he wants, whatever, and look where how he lives. Am I actually going to stop and listen to him? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to listen to myself and think I know better? So I surrendered everything to this man and listened to him and had a go.
I mean, I know this might sound like a mind, but it's sort of like the old guru path, but it's not that because, I mean, it doesn't matter what you call it. It's the surrendering of the self that knows to something that is bigger or
absolutely
different.
Absolutely. That, something that's different. Yes. Yeah. Because I've had enough of being the way that I am and I wanted something different in my life. I've lived 50 years manipulating, lying, controlling, and I'm no different to anybody else. Mm-hmm. And I just had enough and I went, well, do I want to live the rest of my life like this? It's not working for me. Mm-hmm. I have dramas. I kick my boyfriend out. I yell at my children. Like, do I want to keep doing that or would I like to live it differently? And you have to want it enough.
Yeah.
And most of us don't want it enough, Ellen, and that's all I can think of. We absolutely don't want to live differently. We love what we do.
We love the dramas. We love the addiction to the dramas, yeah, because that's all we
know. Everything, yeah.
That's all we know. We only know we don't. I mean, the spiritual seeker, if we want to call that, thinks, would like to think there's more, but they don't want to do what you've done in order to get there.
They want to do workshops and they want to do pillow bashing and they want to do silent retreats and they want to do things that fit their neurosis, as Paul would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't do any of those things. I just sat with it. I didn't go to workshops. I didn't do anything like that.
There's a friend of mine that wants to live with you and have you kind of be that kind of mentor for her. She said, she told me that. So, anyway, you might get some visitors at some point. Are you interested in being that for someone else?
Absolutely. To be able to give back and to help people to reach this state would be the greatest gift I could receive for myself.
It sounds so, what you're saying sounds so simple. I know it's not easy, but it sounds so simple. So someone point, you get your patterns, point out your behaviors, you sit with the pain and difficulty of that, and you go into the pain of what, or what the ego perceives as pain, and then
you have that experience just like any other experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like sitting with a movie. You'll sit and watch the movie, so sit and watch what's going on inside you.
Mm-hmm.
Have that experience 100%. And it's simple and it's easy. It's not as bad as it looks.
Right.
Or feels, or you think about it. You know, your mind will make you think that it's, oh no, it's too scary. I'm too fearful of that. And oh, I can't do that. And everything in it is crazy. It's not that bad when you actually go in there.
Well, also because we're always judging ourselves for the things that, you know, people point out. So we avoid that in ourselves because we don't want to feel that judgment. We don't want to feel our own judgment, partly. We don't want to look bad. We don't want to look foolish or selfish or what all those things that we have to sit with is what you're saying.
Yeah, and to walk around in the world, Alan, with all those things going on, trying to please somebody or not look bad or to look good for somebody else or whatever you were saying there is just, it's just so, I don't understand that anymore, why people do that. Why they would want to live their life walking around, living their life, being that way. Like why? Why when there's another choice that they can make? If they just dedicated that part of their living to sitting with it. Mm. And it's so easy. You know, like Paul said, I was the least person that he would expect to wake up because I had so much stuff going on.
That's funny.
And when I sat with it, yeah, it wasn't nice to see that I was tricky and manipulating, but wow, this is so much better. It was worth it. You know, women go through pregnancy for 9 months and they go through pain, some for 2 days, having birth to a baby. Like, just stick with it for 2 days. See what happens at the end.
I mean, it does sound so beautiful in a way, easy what you're saying. And I feel the place of peace that you're in. I feel like where you come, I mean, from my point of view, your non-judgment, your just serenity, and it, yeah, I mean, you do make it sound as easy as I've ever heard it sound, and so all these spiritual teachers are just teaching their own agendas. I mean, I don't want to judge them, they're doing whatever they're doing, but yeah, it's so simple, and Do you think we need someone else? Because I can see where I'm selfish and self-indulgent and tricky. And I mean, sometimes I can see that. I can see lots of that. Do we need someone to point it out to us?
Well, it was really good for Paul to point it out to me. Mm-hmm. And the way that he did, what happens is that maybe he magnifies it a little bit by sharing what he sees in another. And I can see that I do that for other people as well because it's so hidden sometimes. And it does happen in everyday life by anybody. Somebody can turn around and say to you, Alan, oh, you're just being really selfish. And right. You just come back and go, no, I'm not. Or something instead of just going, oh, and not saying anything. Shutting your eyes and feeling what that other person told you. Everybody gives you the opportunity to see those things in yourself. As soon as you say, I want to be different, I don't want to continue to live this way anymore, people will come in and they will tell you things. And you might not want to hear them, but you usually get what you want when you ask like that. And that's what happened for me. I got what I wanted and sometimes I didn't like it, but I went and sat with it.
So you sat with it and you just were with it and then something just kind of shed off your skin, like it just kind of peeled off of you, is the picture I get when you talk.
It was more like it just disappeared, like it built up, and probably the jealousy is the biggest one. It's like it just was like a volcano inside me, hot. And I lay there and I swore to myself, I'm not moving from this until it's gone. And I just stayed with it and stayed with it. And then it was just like, oh, it's gone.
Hmm. Do you get a sense of love happening, or is it just moment to moment whatever it is? Or do you have like an emanation of a feeling coming out of you?
So love has I knew it, and probably how you're speaking from your term of love, it is there, and it's fleetingly there in this circumstance and that circumstance. And now when I'm in this state, that's not there, and there's it just is a constant in my life. And it's just for everyone. It's not selective, and it's not discerning, and it's not more, and it's not less, and it's just so expansive. Like the peace that's within me is just there. It's not gone, and then it's there, and it's not high, and it's not low. And the expansiveness is the same. It's just always there. Everything is just always there. You are already that underneath you, if you just get out of the way.
So it must be kind of funny to see how there's been thousands of books written about this, and religions formed, and workshop. And I mean, what you're saying is so, so simple. And there's been such a industry. I mean, it seems so ridiculous. Do you?
Yeah. I said something to somebody the other day, and it was, apparently the planet is evolving. We're evolving. And if we're evolving, surely we must move from a state of, I don't know, the ways that we used to do things, to be able to see ourselves, to be able to have a look inside, different therapies and all those things. Maybe they're all old, Ellen. Maybe we're hanging on to those things, thinking that, oh, this is the only way to do it because this is what we've known, or this is what our parents did to get better or to get rid of their depression, etc. And do these workshops and answer these questions so you can go deeper into your body. Hey, maybe it's got really easy and you can just be with your stuff. It just pops and disappears and you just slowly wake up. Yeah. Or you just pop and it's all over like it happened for me. Mm. Maybe it's easier. Maybe our minds like to complicate things and think, oh, well, it can't be like that for me because I'm special or I'm different or I've got too much stuff or my parents did this to me. Or, and you make up all these excuses to hold you in this place where you can actually go, hey, maybe the planet, the energies, I don't know, the veils have got thinner, more spirits are out there. I have no idea. But everybody talks about this stuff, but maybe our lives are supposed to get easier, simpler, more wonderful, more amazing, more expansive, more peace. And we stop it by thinking it's got to be different than that, harder.
So this Diane person that used to be there, is it that you relate to that personality as in, like, something you observe that's not you, was in a way never was you, was like a character?
Oh, no. It was definitely me, uh-huh. And it's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm. So the history and the children, and I mean, that's, you sort of not identified with that. Yeah, yeah.
No. I have, let me see. She existed and she created what it was that she wanted, and she had children and she had a partner and she had a life. And it's like some of those things still come in, and I'm totally different with them now. So much so that my ex-husband is living here on the property with me and my lover. And, you know, that wouldn't have happened if Diane was around. And it's like, so she was a certain way and she's not there now. And she created what she created, some amazing things and some not so amazing things. And I'm just with what's happened and what comes up today. Yeah. But she doesn't play a role. She doesn't have any input in my life anymore.
And also I'm interested in your observation of other people. So when you meet someone, you can pretty easily see their automatic behaviors, or is that not something that you look for?
No, I don't particularly look for them. If I'm in a gathering where everybody's sitting down, and we have these once a week, as the person talks, something might come up for me to share. I don't actually go into that person and feel them or sense what's going on. It's either there or it's not there. Most of the time, there's just love for where they're at and how they are.
But is there something different, I'm curious, about Paul, who's also sort of empty in that way, that you see when you see and relate to him as opposed to other people, or is it all the same?
Oh, okay. No, Paul, he's just an amazing energy to be around.
Like in what way?
So with Paul, my energy blends with his. There's no separation between Paul and I. He's just there and I'm just there and we're just there together. And with other people, if their energy is different, they're dense, they're going through their stuff, or they're in the mind, or one of those sorts of things, I'm there and I'm available for them, but I'm not connected to them like I would be with Paul or somebody that's a lot clearer and got less bits and pieces going on with them.
Have you met other people besides Paul that you connect with in that way? I mean, he might be the most smoothest, but are there others that are?
There's others that are becoming closer, definitely. Others that are a bit closer, but no, I would have to probably, on a general level, no. Uh-huh. That it's very unique, and I'm so grateful to have him there because sometimes, you know, I woke up the other day and I just went, this place is so, so different, and that maybe I am just one in this place, and how that actually feels, just being this one in this state. And to be able to relate to somebody about this, wow, I have Paul down the road. It's so good. That's just great, because I often can't explain it. And then when he says something, it's like, oh, yeah, that's what I mean. Well, that's how I feel.
As you're talking, I can sense or almost see this, when you say this one, this quality of awareness that you seem to have. It feels pure. It feels, I mean, I get that. It's innocent in a way. It's just what it is, but it is, yeah, there's nothing on top of that. It's pure feeling.
Yes, and I often relate it when I have a look at little children, and some of them to the place where they're only in the pram and they can't necessarily walk. And I relate so much to them and their wonderment. And if you watch them, what they look at and their little eyes. And oftentimes I feel like that, walking around with wonderment and nothing else. And that's what a child does until we mess them up.
Right. Exactly. So when was it that happened to you when you sat? How long ago was it?
It was the 11th of April last year, so I'm 1 year and a couple of weeks old.
It's cute.
And I'm just like that.
And so has there been a change in intensity, or has it been the same since then? Or has there been a growing?
When I shared that I woke up that day and I sat out with the birds and the plants, to a similar degree, that went on for 4 months. And my son told me, you know, I was just in fairyland, and you can't live in fairyland like that for the rest of your life, Mum. Like, you know, get back down to earth. Uh-huh. And it was just incredibly amazing. It was just like being in fairyland, definitely. And then I had an incident because Diane was doing what Diane was doing 4 months before that, and she created a situation where I ended up with the local council government coming onto my property and saying that I couldn't have dwellings here and I had to kick my tenants out, and all these different things happened. And I went, oh, okay, I've got to come back to this practical level of operating and clean up after Diane and take responsibility for what she created. Mm-hmm. So I moved out of that fairyland state to incorporating it a lot more into my life on a more practical level. Okay, Diane, okay, this being, Diane created this situation. I came into the world and I, somewhere maybe I made that choice, I don't know, but I'm actually here. And if I'm actually here and I'm actually alive, then I need to be here, not in fairyland. I need to be here and take care of what I've created. I have a property. I have people around me. I have responsibilities to the bank. Taking care of all those aspects was about coming back here and being with what was and what I had created. And it was a great learning to incorporate this new state with being on this planet and being with other human beings. And I would walk around quite often feeling people and just going to town and just crying when I saw people, because I started to relate more with others in that state as well. And it became very overwhelming at times, but to stop it would have been to contract again. So I had to be with it until it changed.
It's beautiful that you can just cry and be. And then it's interesting, you had to be in the world but still in that other space. So it was part of a groundingness. You could live in fairyland. I'm sure that's beautiful, but...
Yes. Yeah, but it wasn't helping anybody. It's like, well, why did I wake up? Yes, I woke up to have this amazing experience and to be free of all those parts that were the personality and the ego. But then, so then what? Do I just have all that to myself? That's great. And I, as you know, Paul has shared often, I don't have a drive like he does at all to help anybody, but if anybody comes to me and asks me, I'm there. But not that part of go out and teach this in the world and do seminars and workshops and all those things. It's just whoever really, really wants this state, I'm here for them 110%, and I'll be with them. And as long as they stay open and available to wanting to be different, I can only do my best to help them, share myself with them.
Yeah, I don't know if Paul has a drive, but I think it's this energy that you're talking about, like the ability to want to be available, because he's been so available for so many years. It's just what feels to me that comes through him, this availability that's there. Yeah, and he can do that. I mean, he's trained in that way, that facility. But
as he shared before, he said that some people, when they wake up, they get really enthusiastic. It's a bit like a Pentecostal Christian; they want to go out there and tell everybody about it. Mm. And then there's others that just do this: I'm awake, and this is cool, and I just want to stay here in this energy and feel this, and I don't really, it doesn't really matter if everybody else doesn't want it.
Well, it does seem like more and more people are waking up, and
Alan? I don't know. I don't go out there in the world, and I haven't heard of many at all.
I've heard of some. I mean, I know who knows if what they really are, but I, you know, a part of my search and seeking is to find people and you know, bring them out, because each little piece, everything you've given me is, of course, make it so simple I could do it right now, but it adds to.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I'm doing it. Okay. Yes. Yes. There's nothing to do except, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Just slowed my, I just saw the wheels of my mind racing to think, and now it's like, there's just like an engine now just stopping, you know.
Yeah. And I know what that's like sometimes. Mm. The mind drives us to these places where we think we know what it looks like or feels like. But if you just go with the feeling, yes, this is possible for me.
Well, it's very sweet the way you are available for people, and you will probably have some visitors, because there are people who want this simplicity. I mean, I've never heard it described so simply, and I've talked to lots of people.
Yeah, and it can be simple. I really feel that, Ellen. I really feel like our minds and the part that makes us human tries to trick us into it being difficult. Life is difficult. You know, getting a house is difficult. Getting a partner that you love. All those things, our minds keep us in torment and pain just through the way that it thinks and how it operates this body. You know, if we could chop our heads off, it would be wonderful. We'd get a wake up straight away, probably. So it's just the way we perceive things. And we just got to stop doing that. And the belief patterns that it's got to be difficult, it's got to be hard, we've got to workshop it, we've got to work through it. It's a process. It's all bullshit. It doesn't have to be.
Right. No, I see that. I see how simple you've described it and made it. And it's just, in a way, the fuel, though, the ego builds up its own ammunition to undo itself. It seems, it could in that way. Just one more question, because we're almost out of time and I really appreciate everything. Did you have a physical sensation, like a energetics in the body that came along with this?
When I first woke up and I was walking around with that wonderment and tears and feeling connected with everything, the whole day, the only thing that I could feel that some people might be able to relate to is that I felt like I was super, super stoned.
Okay. Like very high, very out of it in a way?
Well, just everything like magical, everything like colorful, everything like right with me and me with that and interconnected and so sensitive and a bit blurred around the edges and expansive and yeah, I'm not sure how else to describe that feeling.
And now you don't have that so much. It's more.
It's still there, definitely. Definitely is still in me this. Yeah, it's still there.
But you're in the world. In this, but thank you, Diane. I'd like to. We'll do it again. I mean, if you want to. And how do people reach you if you want people to reach you and talk to you about where you're at? Do you have an email?
Yeah, well, I have an email, which is Horton, Horton. Dot Diane, Diane, @gmail.com, or my details are also on Paul Lowe's website.
Thank you, Diane. I'm going to put this up on the internet, and people, you know, will get whatever they get. But thank you for contributing to this, I think, planetary awakening.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ellen. I so appreciate you making the call so that people do get to see a different way of being in the world. And it's wonderful what you do. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Diane. I'll talk to you soon. Give my love to Paul and Sabine and everybody down there, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Thanks. This is Alan Steinfeld. I've been talking to Diane Horton from Australia, who's had a pretty amazing unfoldment of just who she is, of who all we are. We're all that. So if you have any questions about what you've heard, you can also email me at newrealities@earthlink.net or check my website, newrealities.com. Thanks for listening. Good night.